This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
You're with Take Care On Air with Kath Duncan and Crusader Hillis.
Hey, I was meant to say that.
Yeah, you were too, but never mind. You can do the next bit.
Okay. Well, all right then. I will do the next
bit. Do the next bit, Crusader.
Today on the show, we'll be taking a walk on the west side by checking in with Wyndham City's Youth Development Officer on some key initiatives for queer youth out there.
We're going to have a special guest in the studio, a visiting American activist who's on a study tour to get involved with and report on queer rights movements in Australia and some other countries. He's just told me that he reckons the whole world wants his job.
And today we're also going to be previewing tonight's big queer freak show as part of Midsummer.
Oh, Whippings. Yes. Lots more. Stay with us.
Now, who do we have on the line, Kath?
Well, look, you know, one of my favourite people, totally gorgeous, Anthea Skinner. She's a music archives nerd. She's a comedy producer and she's totally adorable. She's also appearing tonight as part of the Quippings Night at Hares and Hyenas for the Midsummer Word Is Out season. Now, I would probably describe Quippings as Melbourne's best and only literary freak show, but apparently that offends people. So let's call it the Deaf and Disabled Queer Performance Night instead. Anthea is one of seven performers for the evening and she joins us on the line. Hi there, Anthea.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
And I've never been offended by the word freak, I have to say. I'm a big fan of the word freak.
Oh, that's why I've asked you to speak. Now, Anthea, you've seen the lineup for tonight. How would you describe Quippings to those who are unfamiliar with the concept?
Fantastically diverse and just a little bit odd, I think.
Oh, and very entertaining.
And I think there's, Kath, as an amputee, how would you say that properly?
Yes, I'm a trans, I'm a congenital transverse double amputee.
You're allowed to actually
use the word freak.
Reclaim whatever you like and use it when you're talking about yourself. It just makes it a little bit more difficult, I think, when people outside the community do, unless they've been given permission to.
So, he's so right, isn't he, Anthea?
Yeah.
Well, it's very much like the word queer, you know, and fag and all of those ones, or, you know, all of those sort of in-between words. If you say it with love, it's okay, and if you don't, then it's offensive, I guess.
Yeah, well put. Now, I've read your piece for tonight without giving it all away. It's about your very quirky body and its responses to sensation and touch and so forth.
And it is, and I guess mostly it's about how you maintain a sex life when you live with chronic pain, you know.
Can you talk a bit about that? Because I found it fascinating that even light touch is interpreted by your body as painful.
Actually, light touch is often, my body seems to interpret it as more painful for some reason than sort of a more firm touch. I'm not sure why that is. Essentially, the messages between my pain receptors and my brain are a little bit confused, and so my pain receptors are turned on all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, which you kind of, it sounds pretty full on. You get used to it. and it's not, you know, it gets better and worse depending on how tired I am. And so I guess what I'll be talking about today is how I work around that to maintain a love life.
Yeah, and could you just give us a few pointers on that? Because, you know, when I sort of got my head around the concept, I kind of thought, wow, how would you, you know, work up to it or something?
Well, for me, one of the things is I can use my conscious brain to override the messages that come from my subconscious brain, I guess. So if I can see touch coming, if my brain knows that this person is being gentle, then I can kind of tell my brain not to overreact. Not being surprised with touch is a big thing for me. I don't like people coming up behind me and, you know, giving me a hug and things. If I can see it coming, then I'm usually pretty good.
And Anthea, without giving too much away about the story, which I think there's going to be a lot of people there tonight, by the way, so we don't want to give too much away, but having that, well, it's not a condition, having that characteristic in your body, has it ended up determining the types of sex you enjoy more?
I think so. I think one of the things that we're talking about tonight is that sex is really one of the very few things I can do with my body that creates more pleasure than pain. So
that's not a bad place to be.
That's not a bad place.
I mean, I know the rest of the time. I mean, there's not enough time in the day to have sex all day, I guess, but, you know.
But as a result, well, you know, I wouldn't say I'm easy necessarily, but no. I certainly have never made things difficult, or at least no more so than I have to. So I guess I do perhaps prioritise sex more than maybe a lot of people do.
Why do you think there's sort of so much sort of, you know, angst about, you know, labels and naming in the deaf and disability word? Like, one of the things, you know, having sort of run Art of Difference for a few years, one of the things that we decided was to call things deaf and disability. But we'd often be sort of criticised if we used the word disabled, and then we'd be criticised if we used the word people with disability. And everyone gets so caught up in all the theory of it. Why do you think that? It's been, and it almost feels sometimes like it's an out of the community sort of.
I think so. I think people
definition.
Are very quick to get offended on our behalf.
Yeah.
But there's you know, a big sector of the disabled community who, you know, care very passionately about what you call us. And I think what that has to do with is the fact that people take our names in vain. You know, words that used to be considered medical words, like spastic, like retarded, get thrown around as random insults. And therefore we can no longer use them as, you know, midget's another one. You know, that used to be an accepted medical term for someone who was short statured and had, you know, a quote-unquote normally proportioned body. These days it's considered an insult, and it's only because people use those words inappropriately.
Yeah, and the words retarded, like, you know, retarded growth, or not retarded growth, you know, being a plant or something like that.
Exactly.
Or spastic,
it's a real
as
word.
In a spastic colon, they are. They're not offensive words. So how do we get past that? And we're probably not there for a while, are we?
No.
We're not, and there are a lot of parallels between the disabled community and the queer community for those reasons. You know, we're outsiders. And it's really not until the outside world respects us for who we are, I guess, that those kind of problems are going to go away.
Now, look, I think Kath wants to pimp.
I'm dying quippings. To ask
this question.
Sideline thingy for quippings, but just about Anthea's life. Now, you know, there's this stereotype that those of us in the queer communities with disabilities are sitting around at home, you know, desperately trying to get dates on the internet or whatever, or being lonely and stuff. And one of the reasons I wanted Anthea on is she takes that stereotype, she kind of burns it, throws it away and whatever, because she has this mad love life. She's got, from what I can work out, you've got an open relationship with kind of one primary partner or something, but there seems to be all these other people, including boys and whatever, and sort of like a cast of many to choose from.
A cast of thousands.
Yeah. So how has that all kind of worked out, you know?
Our family, I guess, identifies as polyamorous. That it is, I guess it means many loves, the idea that you can have meaningful, honest, open relationships with more than one person. I guess I consider myself having two primary partners.
Oh,
I
can't keep up.
One I live with, and one I don't, and that's really just a matter of time. I've lived with my first primary partner since I was 19, so that's, you know, a few years now. I'm well on the other side of 30, and
she has another primary partner as well.
She has another primary partner who lives about 500 metres down the road.
Yes.
And I guess there are a few comers and goers, sort of,
so to speak,
over the years between those. And
it just sounds like a movable feast. Just
it is a bit. We've been together 17 years. No relationship gets through 17 years without bumps and things.
We
manage it.
Tips for the lovelorn. Give us a couple. How do you have a great sex life?
Relax and be confident, I think, are the two big things.
And sometimes that takes people so many years to get
does.
To that point.
There is no bigger turn off than desperation.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Oh, Anthea.
Is difficult, and I think one of the things we joke about being poly is in some ways it's easier to pick up when you already have a good love life, because there is no desperation. There's, either I pick up this gorgeous person who I've just met, or I go home to an equally gorgeous person.
Mm. Unless they're out pollying somewhere else.
Well, that's right, yeah. You know, but it's good to have a night to yourself every now and again.
Well, that's true.
I'm glad to hear you do occasionally. Thanks for talking to us. Anthea Skinner of What Can You Say? She's amazing. And she will be featuring tonight as part of Quippings at Hares and Hyenas. I'm the MC, so, you know, it's just going to be fabulous. And I'm also going to be doing my little cryptease to some quite bizarre little images behind me and so forth. I've got an assistant who'll be undressing me. That's just so over the top. One thing, though, Crusader says, is the numbers are going to be a bit tight. Get in early.
Get in early, because we have to keep the numbers smaller because we're just expecting a lot of people to roll up.
It was huge last year. It's going to be huge again, just like me.
It was a great year last year.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Take care out there.
Take care out there.
Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours.
Now, in the studio at the moment, we have Emmanuel Yekutiel, and he's been travelling the world studying queer rights movements in a number of different countries.
Ah, what a dream job. We all want it.
He won a Watson Fellowship to explore, I guess, gay rights movements is how it's described on in your bio, but in the UK, India, Australia, China and Brazil. And I think so far you've already been to the UK and...
India. What have you found so far, Emmanuel? I know that's a big question.
I mean, I'm lucky because I've been able to meet so many different kinds of people and have so many amazing conversations. And I mean, I learn something new every day. So 3 months in the UK, 3 months in India, and the conversations keep on rolling. But I mean, what I've found most of all is just how many different perspectives there are on the movement, how many different people are working on it from so many different angles, and just the amazing, colorful diversity of the gay rights movement worldwide.
Can you tell us a bit about why you decided to do this study tour? What was it about traveling the world looking at different gay rights movements that appealed to you?
Well, I was lucky in that I had a really amazing transformative experience the summer before my senior year. I was a street canvasser in San Francisco raising money for same-sex marriage in California. And just standing on street corners raising money for this cause, I was able to meet so many people that were very passionate about this particular issue. And I wanted to figure out what else was happening in different countries around the world. I think that there's so much use from gaining perspectives from different countries and people working on similar civil rights issues in countries other than America. And I felt like it was a great opportunity to gain a little bit of perspective.
Now, you're 22 years old and you're a graduate from Williams College in Massachusetts. How, you know, where, I guess, did you get the sort of like the, I don't know, the chutzpah to get on the road and sort of like just, you know, make all this happen?
Mm. Well, courage was instilled into me by the director of fellowships at my university. Her name is Katrina King and Lynn Chick. And these two amazing women in the office in my university gave me the chutzpah, I think, to say I could do this, to say I could go anywhere and talk to anyone on my own for 12 months and really study this thing. So, you know, I think I'm very lucky that I have really amazing mentors out there that have supported and nurtured my own growth.
And interestingly, I mean, you are describing it as gay rights. Have you also been looking at gender rights in general?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the word gay rights movements is just the word I've come to use. But I mean, in India, where I was for the last 3 months, I mean, they really use the term sexual minority rights because in India, there's so many different kinds of sexual minorities out there that we don't even have in the UK and in America and Australia. And
like so, what?
Oh, Jogopas, Hidras, Kotis, Sathakotis. I mean, there's a whole range of sexual identities that really exist in India and that it would be improper for me not to study the entire range of the sexual minority movement. So definitely everyone. I mean, gay is just a catch-all term that I've used, but
yep.
I mean,
I just wanted to get that out there so people under a misunderstanding that you might not have been interested in their life.
No.
And in India, in fact, there's some legal recognitions around a range of genders as well.
Definitely.
It's one of the only places, if not the only place in the world where that happens.
And the exciting thing about India is because, you know, for instance, gay pride and the marches are still kind of new. I mean, they really don't have time. They haven't had the time to really factionalize yet. So everyone is in this amazing, you know, march together, LGBTQIA, everything. I mean, all these groups. And so you really can't look at it and just kind of say, this is what I'm going to study. You really have to study the entire range of people in the country. Yeah.
Why did you pick those countries?
Well, I mean, I picked each. I want to study the movement in progress. So I wanted to, I'm really interested in the legal and political changes being made in countries all over the world. So I wanted to choose countries that are that were in different stages of their kind of legal and political changes. So, for instance, in India, they decriminalized homosexuality 2 years ago.
Ah, right.
Whereas in the UK, there have been a lot of legal and political changes over, a number of years.
And yeah, in the 1950s and with the Wolfenden Report is when it sort of really started loosening up. Yeah,
and
a long time. Yeah.
And lots still going on. So really, I'm interested in the legislative process and also kind of the social process. And so I wanted to choose countries that were in varying ranges of that kind of stage in their movement.
And where did you see Australia fitting into that?
Well, Australia is interesting because there's so much going on in the media right now about the same-sex marriage debate, and it seems to be really large in the public consciousness. And so I wanted to come here and figure out how people felt about that and whether there was frustration or whether people felt like this was the right thing to be focusing on and where Australia was in that kind of that struggle for same-sex marriage rights.
And I think if you sort of delve deeper, you're going to find some quite enormous differences between Australian attitudes and American attitudes. But look, I'm going to ask a bit of a tough question here.
Good
in a way. You're
good.
22. Yes, you've got a degree in political science. What gives you the sort of capacity inside to feel you have the maturity to understand the complexity of the gay rights movements around these places, including Brazil?
I think the reason why I'm traveling the world is so that I can, I think that I'm trying to understand that now. I think that I think to assume that I could have full comprehension of the amazing complexity of these movements before I even get there would be presumptuous of me. And that's why I'm actually flying to these places, asking these questions, and just listening. And that's what I'm doing for a year. I'm going around to different countries, and I'm listening to people, and I'm letting them educate me.
That's fantastic. And in fact, what it does is it doesn't set you up. Do you have to do a report? And if so, what do you think it's going to be looking like? Because I can't imagine just a written report is going to be any good at all. Surely it's going to be a little bit of a collage of all sorts of things.
So I don't have to do a report.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh, my God. I want his fellowship. Now, go on.
So at the end of the fellowship, I do need to submit a 5-page paper on how my year went. But they're actually not interested in the research that I've done or the interviews, the transcribed interviews. But I am writing reports of each country kind of for my own, just to keep track of what I'm doing.
So it's a personal growth journey by a foundation that obviously sees that this is an incredibly important part of a person's life.
It's learning for learning's sake.
We have this kind of stereotype of Americans that they're not really interested in other nations. You know, that joke about Americans can't even find Canada on a map and all that. So I guess that's the other thing I'm interested in as well is, well, for a start, do you think that stereotype holds true for the Americans that you kind of hang around with? And
no.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good.
But what about others? Because I've been on planes that, you know, thought we were 5 minutes from, you know, Japan, you know, things like that. So they're certainly, I mean, it sounds like they teach geography over there, but do you think there is some truth in the fact that it is more of an inner introspective looking nation in that way or not?
I mean, it's hard for me to comment on such a giant nation with so many millions of people. And, you know, I grew up in Southern California, and America is a regional country, and there with many regional differences and lots of different kind of cultural attributes depending on what part of the country you're in.
It's like multiple countries in some ways.
Kind of. I mean, yeah. And I mean, Los Angeles is an amazingly diverse city with lots going on and people from all over the world. So, I mean, I haven't seen that in my life. And I was given an incredible education, I'm very lucky to say, where I was taught about the histories of nations all over the world and geography and in my university I was able to, you know, in my high school I learned different languages. In my university as well, they taught lots of different languages, and I think that there are a lot of people out there that like to push against that stereotype that Americans are only concerned about their own country.
Well, we'd really like to see that happen.
And I guess then my question is, you know, you'll go back to the States with those experiences of being in all these other countries. Have you thought about how you're going to, you know, convey some of that material to your folk back home? Are you going to kind of have a few, you know, public meetings or something? Are you going to put it online or... Have you thought about that?
I have thought about that. I mean, I haven't decided 100% yet what I'm going to do with all of the knowledge that I've gained in this year. And of course, the year is only halfway over, so I still have another amazing 6 months left to learn more and grow more. I think no matter what I do, I'll always be an advocate. And I think that this year, if nothing else, has made me a stronger, better informed advocate. And I think that just gaining a more international perspective of the movement will be beneficial. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to, you know, maybe make something to be published or presented in some kind of more technical format.
Look, one thing I wanted to say was I met Emmanuel because he was one of the 12 younger riders under 25 who put their hand up to come along to Hares and Hyenas on Sunday and be involved in this amazing event where there was incredibly talented people. You wrote, I think you said it was your first poem.
It was, yes.
Yeah, and so is this something else that you want to sort of start developing?
Well, one of the promises I made to myself on this fellowship was that I would face as many of my fears as possible. And I think I'd always had admiration for those who were confident enough to get up on a stage and bare their soul through poetry. And when I went to the Poetry Slam event, I thought, wow, what incredible talent, what incredible people. You know, I'd like to try my hand at that. And so when I realized it was a fear, I decided to conquer it. And that's when I went up to you and asked if I could participate.
Fantastic. Look, and we're so glad you did. In fact, it's led to a whole range of other possibilities for us on this radio show and for our listeners out there as well to sort of know that this sort of work is going on.
I was just going to say, you know, have we got any further questions for Emmanuel at this stage? I'd hate to let him go, but... You know, what do you think, Crusader?
Wow.
Anything tickling the back of your mind?
Not really.
Ah.
I think he's very articulate, so it's sort of hard to drag it out. I mean, if he'd mumbled a bit and stumbled a bit, we might be able to drag the interview out.
Well, thank you, Crusader.
No, you'll have to let him go.
How long are you in Australia for?
Roughly 3 months.
And you've only just arrived, haven't you?
I've only been here for 10 days.
Huh. Yeah,
so I still have a lot to learn about Australia.
And where are you going?
Well, I'm going to be in Melbourne for another 3 weeks, roughly, and then up to Sydney for Mardi Gras, and then
there
for about 2 months. Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, that's the exciting thing about the fellowship is there are no strings attached, so I could go at any moment. I could say there's an event going on in Brisbane, I'll go there, or I'll hop over to New Zealand. Budget, you know, consider I do have a tight budget, but wherever the wind takes me.
And how can people get in touch with you if they want to? I don't know, chat with you or inform your travel? And
so one of the things I have been doing is keeping a very regular travel blog and with lots of photos and interesting quips, hopefully. And the blog is, it's Manny Travel, MannyTravel.blogspot.com. That's MannyTravel.blogspot.com. And if you just go on, you can, you know, sign up to my blog and comment, and I'm happy to talk to anyone out there. That's what this year is about.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel. May you have well said, Crusader. May you have a fabulous time in Australia and onwards to Brazil and China.
And thank you for having me.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Let's go to Wyndham in Melbourne's western outer suburbs, said to be the fastest growing area in Australia, with house prices and infrastructure increasing at a high rate. Now, the area often gets a bad rap, western suburbs everywhere seem to, don't they? But in fact, has some very good schools, a great arts centre, a range of other things. Today, we're after finding out what it's like to grow up queer in Wyndham and about a new group for GLBTIQ youth called Q. Kate Mastriani is the Youth Development Officer in Hoppers Crossing for Wyndham City Council, and she joins us on the line. Hi, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you. Well, and first, can you talk a bit about the group Q? Where's that up to?
Okay, so this is our first term that we've ever run. So we're kind of at the moment just taking the direction of the young people that have helped bring it into the light to see what they kind of want to do. And after this term, we'll have a better idea about where we're going. So last term, we started off with it was a youth advisory group. So we do have that kind of advisory group / committee still running. And they've decided that this term we would like to participate in a midsummer event that we ran out in Wyndham called Family Fun Day. That was on Sunday, which turned out to be awesome. I'm very proud of Wyndham.
It's actually, it's really grown into a really nice looking place too over the last few years, isn't it?
It is, definitely. We're kind of getting out of that, the stereotype that Werribee often fell into. So it is becoming a better place to live and more open and inclusive of the minorities in this area, which is fantastic. Next Sunday we do have the Pride March, which is very, very exciting. It's the first time I myself have marched and the staff as well. So we're taking our group with us and very, very excited about that.
I think it's great that all of you are going to go. I think that sends a really good message to the, you know, young folk that you're supporting and that area in general.
Yeah, and we actually have a Wyndham bus going. So it's not just us, it's the rest of council. If they'd like to come along, just the staff, then we're all going together, which is the first time we've ever done something like this. So it's very exciting, and I'm hoping that it'll only grow from here.
Look, interestingly, outside the city of Yarra and to some extent the city of Port Phillip, it's Hobson's Bay, and now it's the city of Wyndham that seem to be really starting to do things. It's...
Yeah, so we are following Hobson's Bay's lead. They've been in this area, I think they've had a group called Proud for about 8 years now. So we did turn to them for some advice on how to get this started. They were very helpful, and it's really good to kind of be working with them through this as well.
And is that, I guess I'm interested in whether that initiative has come from grassroots, like from the young people themselves, or whether it's come from, you know, people like yourselves working in council, whether it's been kind of trickled down or kind of from grassroots up, or has it been both? How would you describe how that sort of social change has come about?
Well, it has been the call for it. It's not. We do try at youth services to cater to all young people, and it's just been a big kind of gap in our program and service delivery for a long time now. And it wasn't until some training that we had with family planning that we realised how wide the gap was in Wyndham. So we decided to do something about it. But it did start by being a call for young people in our other groups, asking us why we didn't have a group of this nature. And then once we kind of jumped on board with it, the rest of council thought, because we got the okay to go ahead, that they could start implementing small changes throughout as well.
That's really terrific. Where do you see Wyndham being in like about 10 to 15 years? Because the change is dramatic and, you know, Werribee is a completely shifted and changed place as well now. So what do you see happening out there?
That's a huge question. I hope that, honestly, that it keeps going from here. But this change for us has only been about 6 months, and it's been a huge shift. So although that I'm really glad that we're heading this way, I do feel that it'll slow down a little bit. But in 10 to 15 years, I really hope that everybody is all very inclusive of all young people and all people in general, and more kind of open to education about learning. Different types, and even we've got a huge cultural and differences in Wyndham with lots of refugees settling here. I'd like to see the people of the community very, very open to change. And I know that it's going that way, and we are definitely leading. So hopefully it continues on that path.
And anecdotally, there's actually a very high lesbian population in Wyndham, including a lot of lesbian families who've decided to go out there to raise their children.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And that's what we're hearing as well. But because this is so brand new to us, even the staff here are very, and we're all looking for education opportunities, training, and very much guided by our young people because, you know, they are the experts in this arena. We're just there to help them and facilitate and guide where needed.
Now, listen, I think it's really important to get a little bit of an understanding from your experience to date. What are the issues that these young people are coming to you about? What are the things that are challenges in their life, and what are the things that are sort of working well for them out in Wyndham? Not out, you know, it's not that far away.
Well, at the moment, I guess the main thing that we're dealing with our young people is bullying in schools. It's so prominent, and it definitely leads to a lot of other, you know, mental health issues, depression, suicide, self-harm, things like that. It's very, very prominent in our little group. Although there are a lot of other things going on with these young people, the bullying that is coming from the schools is very, very difficult to help them through, and it is leading lots of to lots of other issues. We are slowly starting to see a shift in the schools where they're taking on the Safe School Initiative. One of our schools down here has already done so, Werribee Secondary, and we are trying to support other schools through this, which, you know, is slow, but it's getting there, definitely.
Well, look, that's really terrific, and it's great work that's happening, that you're doing out there. So I congratulate both the City of Wyndham and the City of Hobsons Bay for taking a lead.
Thanks very much for talking to us, Kate.
Well, thank you for having me on board, and I look forward to talking to you guys.
One last
soon.
Question. How do people find out about Q if they're listening from out there, or if they know people out there that might want to...
Well, we do have flyers, but I do recommend that they give us a call. And what we'll do is our reception will just take their name. It can only be first name if they'd like.
Yes.
Their phone number if they want to give it, and just an email address. And I am communicating with a lot of young people who I haven't met yet and only have their email address, just to let them know what we're up to. And then when they feel safe enough to come along, we'd be happy to have them. I can even meet with them on a one-on-one basis just to let them know about the group, if that's what they feel.
So if someone rang the City of Wyndham and said, I want to find out about the Q group, that's your reception is going to know what that means.
Yes, definitely. And they've
good
got
work.
A spreadsheet out there that they'll just take details and then I'll contact them.
Oh, that's great. Okay, okay. Kate.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate Mastriani there.
Thank you.
No worries. Is the Youth Development Officer in Hoppers Crossing for Wyndham City Council. And as you just heard, if you're interested in that Q group, I give her a call. And I'm just so excited about what they're doing. I just think this is an amazing wave of social change we're seeing here. And in just a moment, we're going to be doing our regular midsummer wrap-up. And thank God it all comes to an end this weekend. I don't think I've slept for 3 weeks or something. And I've never yet made it to the Pride March, because by the time it gets to that day, I'm like, oh, I can't cope. I'm hoping to make it this year. Okay.
Take care out there. Take care out there. Individual health and well-being through stronger community endeavours.
5 minutes-ish to run through the midsummer wrap-up. Crusader, why don't you kick it off?
It's going to be hard, but we'll get there. Look, I think before we say anything, if you want to get into some of the visual art stuff, it's going to be running on probably for till the end of the week at least.
Right.
Some of it will be going beyond that. So, but check out the midsummer website, midsummer.org.au, if you want to find out more about the visual arts. Our first show that we're talking about, though, is a visual arts one. It's Pink Narcissist. It celebrates 20 years of Richard Morrison's work. Richard Morrison, I think, has been in every Art of Difference Deaf and Disability Festival.
Right.
And he is an incredible painter. And in fact, he's done a couple of portraits of me and Roland and now... earlier.
No wonder you like him.
Yeah, no, well, you know.
Narcissism, I love it.
But they were bought by other people before we had a chance to buy them ourselves.
Oh, of course.
But he's been a collaborator and he's always been involved in the Midsummer Festival.
Okay, so look, we've worked Clipping to Death, so we won't go there again, except to come. And where else are we up to, Crusader?
Britney Spears' The Cabaret, which is at Chapel Off Chapel. I saw this a few years ago. It's starring Christy Whelan, who is the most brilliant, sometimes ditzy Britney, but also it's deep and meaningful and moving and all
which
at
is
the
more
same
than
time.
Britney is, and that sounds fabulous.
But it's hysterical, and the singing is superb. So, like, if you haven't seen Britney over the years, you've got to get down there and see Britney.
Will that be on for a few more nights? Oh, yes, that's on till Thursday. So do get to see that. I might even get to see that if I can tear myself away from the bookshop.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Love in a Cubicle by Stephen Dawson. We had Stephen on the show a week or two ago, and he's been a bit of a sort of like a stalwart and legend in the gay theatre world. We have a thing called Pageant the Musical, which is award-winning theatre company.
Oh, yeah.
Shush Productions have got that on. And the Laugh Out Loud Big Gay Comedy Night. That's become a bit of an institution.
Yes, everyone raves about this one. I wouldn't miss it, except I have to.
Yeah. And then coming up later in the week, we've got the celebration of homosexual liberation, and it's on both at ACME and then Victoria University. There's a conference for 2 days. It's a celebration of 40 years of Dennis Altman's book, Homosexual Oppression and Liberation. I got it right out of my little headspace somewhere.
Huh. Yeah. 40 years, so it was published, can anyone do the maths?
1969.
Well done.
You know, but it might even been, you know, obviously 72.
And I guess for the time, time, it would have been a really pioneering sort of study.
Absolutely. It was based on his experiences being in New York at the time around Stonewall and being part of the sort of gay liberation front and everything else.
Poor old Dennis. I met him not long ago at the bookshop and I went up to him going, "Oh my God, you're just totally my hero. I read your work and cried." And he's like, "Oh, thank you."
But Dennis Altman is on tomorrow night with Christos Tsolkas, Sophie Cunningham, Kim Westwood and Neil Drinnen with a special little performance et by Moira Finucane.
Oh, wow.
Just to round things off. In an event about Melbourne called Queer 3000. But there's a huge number of things on. There's bi and poly stuff happening in a couple of different things. Just get onto midsummer.org.au and check it out before
out
they
there.
All sell out.
And it's only days to go, minutes to go for us. We'll be back again next week, of course, thanks to our lovely panel operator here, Gaz, the Gazman, with us again. We'll see you next week. Do keep an eye out for us at Pride. We're going to be out there if I stay awake. And and have a great week.
Also presents Take Care On Air.
Interviews, current affairs and events from across Victoria.
Also is
your community hub and also is
proud to sponsor Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.